to say, yes, sir. And then the Bible goes on to say, hey, if you are obedient, you are calling the Bible, Alaba Shake Bredo Sokodo. Hey! Hallelujah! Ah, no, let's do this thing. Give me 1 Peter chapter 3. I feel the anointing to teach this thing.
The light, if the light goes on, it's not enough. It's not enough for the light to go on. The Bible says the light shines. It shines. No, my light will not just go on. No, my light will not just go on. It's not enough that you cleared. You have to be excellent. Your light, no. It's not enough that you feel before. And he has put all things under his sight, at arm's length. Where has he put them? Somebody shout, it's under my feet.
Now, we've been looking at God's systems of preservation, and I realize that I didn't give you an opportunity to ask questions in case you had any. It's been a long topic, and to have a long topic like that without giving you an opportunity to ask questions could be an injustice. So I thought that maybe if you have any follow-up questions, aka fall-up questions, you could ask them. So that we fix. You need to smile. How come I'm smiling alone? This is hectic. How can you be smiling alone in the smiling relationship? I won't judge you. Don't worry. Not yet. I'm coming. So please, anyone with a mic, let's answer some questions over the long topic we've been dealing with, if there's any. How are you? What are you doing here? Are you not supposed to be there? You changed departments. These things only happen in dreams. Where pastor appears to you in a dream. Now for you it's happening in reality. Oh no. You changed. I will not go to your answer. You changed. Huh? Oh. Okay, I will tell you the Ali Chinjama department. How many don't have envelopes? You've been desiring an envelope. We want to apologize. We want to give you an envelope. You have had cash. By the way, partnership is not offering. So your offering should be separate. So we'll have a different basket for offering. Then a different basket for. Now, if you come here, Prophet Sir, how are you? Good to see you. Great man of God we have here.
Hallelujah.
FD, you want to say something? I heard hallelujah. In Deaconess Faith voice. It was not you. Was that you? You're just happy. Okay. About what? About partnership. Okay. That's her love language. The FDs. Their love language is partnership. I have a question. This love language thing, is it real? God's love language is faith. Okay, that's interesting. I thought it's acts of service. For God so loved that he gave. Okay. From. Yeah, being smart. Okay, how many have envelopes now? Nice one. How many need an envelope? They skipped you. We want to apologize. And hit you with an envelope. So the rest of you, you are going to wire the fund, right? So I hope you've informed your friends the first time as that church, they collect offerings. We collect. Trust me. Appa, we are just starting. This is like phase one. By the time you are going, you feel like a giver in the Lord. We will help you. Praise the Lord. So, what love languages are there?
Acts of service.
Sorry?
Acts of service.
Acts of service. You heard that one from me.
I forgot it. Dad, you said.
Are you not dating? What's your love language? Mm-hmm.
The moment you said they are not what, I forgot about them.
Your man is safe. Ask the one who was telling us about faith.
Oh, okay. So the ones I know, there's acts of service.
Acts of service.
Words of affirmation.
Words of affirmation. What does that mean?
Endearing words.
So endearing words. Like, yeah. Wow, wako ni mwe.
Yes.
All those who are agreeing, you are from Copper Belt, the women.
Yes.
You go to your man and say, which pundo?
Yeah. Quality time.
Chairman, ni mwawa shara makorik. Please continue.
Okay, so I said acts of service, words of affirmation.
Who needs words of affirmation the most?
Both.
Huh?
Both.
Okay. Do you like words of affirmation from your wife?
Yes.
Okay. Like what? Give us what we can handle for our level.
You are smart. You are intelligent. You are caring.
How about you? Do you love words of affirmation? Which ones? Honey, creative, he loves too. Yes. Pastor Wandy knows how to give words of affirmation. Hey, I've only seen her in ministry, so. Okay. Hey, which other ones? I'm learning.
So,
why is it important to give a man words of affirmation? I thought men don't need words of affirmation.
I personally think they do. I give my husband a lot of words of affirmation. I think he's also trying to be a bit PG, but
he's trying to give us what we can manage.
Yes. So, but I tell him things like, "You're an amazing father, an amazing husband," which he is.
Amazing father, amazing husband. Okay.
I think it's important because sometimes men don't really express their feelings a lot. And so,
but isn't like, I don't know. Okay.
And they, and they, and then they don't coming. Ask. They don't ask. Typically, like for me, I will ask my husband, like, check me, like, am I doing okay? Is everything okay? But he won't ask. So I constantly will.
So
tell
for
him,
you, you like need them. For him, he like needs them.
Yeah.
Okay. What other words? What
also other love languages?
Yes.
There's gift giving and
how many love gift giving? Now when I'm only seeing single people. Both male and female. Yes. Let me see again because I don't know. Maybe in my eyes. How many love gifts giving? Mwereza intervene. Intervene. Okay. Which other ones?
So there's quality time and physical touch.
Quality time. So quality time means like not quantity time. I like that.
Quality time. Yes.
So if I spend 2 minutes with you, I share a verse. I tell you how mighty you are. That's quality time.
Right. So you can be in the same house with your partner, which a lot of couples do. You can see each other every day, but don't spend quality time.
Why are you looking convicted? That's his word. Pastor Flavian is looking strong.
And that's my
Pastor,
top
not
love
here,
language.
Not here. Pastor, not here.
That's my top love language. Quality,
quality time.
Time. Yes.
What if, like, the man is busy?
It can be 2 minutes, but it has to be quality.
Physical touch.
For married
what
people.
If you're a single and that's your love language?
You can hold hands.
How far is too far?
Beyond holding hands. Okay, maybe a hug.
Huh?
Maybe a hug is the limit.
Maybe a hug is a limit?
Yes.
Na mvelachobe wa hand.
I honestly don't.
Because it feels like women would like this more. And for them, it would be more innocent. You know what I'm saying? They like to be affirmed. They love to be affectionate. But I don't know if the man will feel the same way once that affection begins to come in. Because he may feel like you are sending a message, an invitation card, to deeper realms. There are wells too deep for wells. Okay. So would you allow people who are single to participate in this love language? Okay. Give her the mic, that one. She has advocated too strongly. We all for the white.
I feel like every person should be able to express how they feel about love. So it's not just love to a partner, but even to people around you. So your love language can be no quality way. Time with you.
No.
That.
Okay, how many agree with me that she's switching context?
No.
She's switching context. Up and now, can she catch even the love of God? Let's just bring
Dad.
Love to your parents.
No, we can't be left out just because you're not.
No, we are talking about relationships here.
Okay, let me give it to my sister who is in a relationship.
No, but you are the one who... This is serious. The sister in the relationship has rejected. No, let's not make things awkward for her. She doesn't want. I saw a picture at a Chinese restaurant. No, you were having a meal together. All right? Ah, wait, for you it's food. What? For you and your man, it's food. Okay, who wouldn't love that nice food? We add it to the love languages. So don't be shy. Look at the people who are voting for you. We've added the fifth one. Food. Okay, I'm going to leave that to your cell meetings. If physical touch is a love language, how far is too far? For singles. Even for married people. Yeah, there's like people who are not discerning. I'm not happy, then you want to touch. There are men who just don't discern the times and seasons. I will explain in the group. But basically for singles, I want you to just forget this one. You're doing it like this. You want me to go deeper? For all of you single people in your sales, I want you to discuss online how far is too far when it comes to physical touch as. And then I'll allow you to present in church. Per zone. So I expect online meetings and Sunday we are going to have a presentation. Praise God. All right. God's systems of preservation. Do we have anyone who has a question? We've been dealing with this for the past 5 weeks. This is the fifth week, right? Sixth. So do we have anyone who has a question around what we've been learning? I just realized that to have a very long class without allowing people to ask questions, you may think you have nailed it. Can't she were removing the nail? So if there's anyone with a question around God's systems of preservation, today is question and answer. But if there's none, I'll teach. You have a question? I thought I saw your hand. Oh, okay, no. I think there's one at the back there.
Okay. So my question is, it's
what's
just
your
something.
Name?
Oh, my name is Irene.
Oh, okay.
Yes. Pardon me. My question is, this is something I've been pondering on during the course of the week with regards to God's system of preservation in respect of servants of God. There's a story of Moses where we had, is it Miriam and Aaron who were speaking against him because of what he did? And yeah, Miriam had leprosy and that happened and all. So I would like to understand in respect of the servants of God, in the event, may I give a scenario? Am I permitted, Pastor? Okay. So this is a scenario. Assuming there's a servant of God and they, let's say, do something to somebody which is, we can say, morally not right. And in that case, the other party decides to retaliate. Would the...
The person who that thing has been done against?
Yes.
What if they were doing it together? It was consensual.
Sorry?
Give a more... You know, sometimes what happens is you find... This man wants to expose the woman of God. But they agreed together to indulge in whatever they indulged in. So now, normally what happens is it's the person who is not a servant of God who becomes a victim. But when we look at it, they met, they sat down, they agreed, they laughed together, and they indulged. This is why most of the times at court, you find that people lose cases of rape allegations. Because when we look at the facts, we discovered you went together to the lodge. You're above the age of 21. So now the issue there becomes moral. It becomes moral and not legal. So is your question touching the moral aspect or the legal aspect?
It's touching the moral aspect.
Okay, let's go.
Okay. Let me just summarize it. When it comes to servants of God, in the event they do something wrong, it doesn't matter because they are servants of God. They are automatically, is it that they are automatically exempted from consequences of their actions? Because there's a way God keeps his people.
So a man of God, I don't know why, so when she says men, I say now I'm going to women so that we balance it. So are women of God exempt from punishment or from consequences of wrong? No. Are they human beings? Yes. Kaidi, in the man or woman of God, there is woman, there is man. That means they've got their own consequences. Now, I know where you are coming from. Where you are coming from is the idea that you have an issue here where you are beginning to speak against somebody. And the moment you speak against someone who was like legit wrong, you are the one who gets punished for it. That's how much jealousy God has invested in servants of God. You see, a servant of God has a covenant with God which is beyond their righteousness or their being wrong. I'll give you an example. There is a scripture about a man who God appeared to. And when God appeared to him, God says to him, I will bless those who bless you, and I will curse those who curse you. Now, what God did is he ended there. He didn't say, especially when they are wrong and you are right. He just said, as long as someone curses you, they're in trouble. As long as someone blesses you, I'll also revenge. I'll bless them back. Could you put this thing inside? So, as we begin watching this gentleman's life, he goes to a place and he realizes that the place where he was full of pagans, people who didn't fear God. So he looked at his wife and he said, look, you are beautiful. If these women see me with you, if these men see me with you, they will kill me and take you away. So let's tell them that you are my sister. And when he reached there, he lied. He said, she is my sister, in fear of being killed. And even that same woman, she also agreed. So the king now says, she's your sister, bring her. So the king now gets her and puts her in his house. But then strange things began to happen. Suddenly all their wombs were closed. People began being sick. There were tumors on their animals and on human beings. And this man was wondering, and somehow I can imagine he just never. Then God appears to him one night and God says, you are in trouble. And then the man says, what have you done? He says, you have taken another man's wife. Then the man says, no. I took this woman in my innocence because the man told me that she is his sister. Then God says, no, that man is a prophet. Go and ask for forgiveness. Basically, that's what God does. Why am I going to ask for forgiveness from a man who lied to me? And I acted everything out of innocence. He says, out of the integrity of my heart. We was never given an opportunity to touch her. God never allowed it. And then he goes to her. He goes to him and says, you are bringing trouble on me. You lied to me that this woman is your. Then he says, yeah, no, you know. In fact, she's my sister because like we are cousins, like you know what I mean. Like you know what I mean. The point I make is, God somehow defended him despite him lying. Not because he was correct, but because of the covenant that God had with him. It's what happens in a covenant of marriage. In a covenant of marriage, you are bound to protect your husband or your wife despite their being right or being wrong. So you find that there is a case that is being handled, all right? And your wife is wrong. But in public, you're supposed to protect her and defend her like she's the most righteous, benign thing that has ever existed since Jesus Christ. Then now you can go deal with each other home. But in public, you can't. You know what I mean, right? Yeah, because of the covenant. So servants of God have that covenant. This is why you see, even Aaron, although Aaron spoke against Moses together with Miriam, the leprosy only fell on Miriam. How come? Because sometimes the anointing and the calling of that man of God can also protect him even from God's own judgment. So you can find the two of you were doing the wrong thing. He will go scot-free. Then you're in trouble. Because of the covenant that God put himself into with that particular person. Does it sound unfair? I don't know, but that's how God does it. I think it sounds very fair. So, this is why you must be careful when you begin to speak against men of God. Because, and I'm not saying they can't be wrong. They will be wrong and God will deal with them. Or those they are answerable to will deal with them. But then for you, just stay away. What if the thing was done against you? Right? The thing was done against. It's different if you're just participating in a conversation, then you're in trouble. But then the thing was done against you. What do you do? There's a scripture in the Bible where Paul was slapped by, is it the high priest? And then I think he pondered. Then they told him, "You, this is a high priest." Then he apologized. Do you remember that verse? What happened? I'll find it for you. I'll show you. Oh, it's on the screen. Is that where it starts from? Okay. Then Paul, looking earnestly at the council, said, "Men and brethren, I have lived in all good conscience before God until this day." And the high priest, are you saying that? The high priest, Ananias, commanded those who stood by him to strike him on the mouth. That same your mouth. Let's go. Then Paul said to him, "God will strike you, you whitewashed wall." He pondered, you see what I mean? For you sit to judge me according to the law and do not command me to be struck contrary, and you command me to be struck contrary to the law. And those who stood by said, "Do you revile God's high priest?" Then Paul said, "I did not know, brethren, that he was the high priest, for it is written, 'You shall not speak evil of a ruler of your people.'" Now, this is even a high priest of the Old Testament. But when Paul pondered, and then he realized that this is, he apologized, he says, I didn't know. Because there's a verse in the Old Testament which says, you shall not revile the gods. The word used here is gods. You shall not revile the gods. You shall not speak against the gods. I'm sure you find it there. you shall not revile. And then when it, other versions say, you shall not revile the rulers. In the book of first, in the book of, what book? Hebrews chapter 13, verse 17. It says, to obey they that rule over you. It's talking about the same kind of people. But also, when you read Jude has a very controversial story. He talks about those people who don't fear anything, who don't even fear celestial beings. And then he says, because even Michael, this is very interesting. He says, because even Michael, when he came to fight for the body of Moses against Satan, he did not dare say any abusive word against him. Instead, he just said, the Lord rebuke you. He did not abuse Satan. Have you seen that verse before? Okay, let's fix this thing. Give it to me. It's in the book of Jude somewhere. Go up. Today, media, you are fast. I like this vision of you. It says, likewise, also these dreamers defile the flesh, reject authority, and speak evil of dignitaries. Let's go. Like many Zambians. Yet Michael, the archangel, in contending with the devil, when he disputed about the body of Moses, dared not bring against him a reviling accusation. Are you seeing that? Do not revile against the gods, but said, the Lord rebuke you. Let's go. But these speak evil of whatever they do not know, and whatever they know naturally, like brute beasts, in these things they corrupt themselves. When you speak evil of people that are above you, you corrupt yourself. Let's go. Woe to them, for they have gone in the way of Cain, have run greedily in the error of Balaam for profit, and perished in the rebellion of Korah. So there's a judgment for that kind of thing. Now, I'm not saying you must not abuse Satan. Let me explain something. Because we're always abusing him. At the time when Moses' body was being fought for, Satan was the god of this world. That's why the Bible says, and Satan took Jesus to a mountain. He was giving Jesus visions. He was happening on the earth. The moment that God asked Adam, why did you eat of this fruit? And Adam says, it is the woman that you have given to me. He was transferring responsibility for answerability from himself. He was the man, but he transferred it to the woman. And when the woman was asked, she transferred responsibility to the serpent. And when the serpent was talked to, it was quiet. It didn't transfer responsibility. In that moment, he took the authority of Adam to himself. And he became the god of this world. That's why the Bible says in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, it describes him as the god of this world. Satan, the god of this world. From that moment forward, Satan became the ruling incumbent in the earth realm. In all the realms that Adam had authority, Satan began to rule. You see, I believe that Adam had privileges to stand before God in board meetings of the rulers of different entities of God's creation. But what happens is the moment that Adam fell, it was now Lucifer who had that authority. So that's how come you find in some verses the Bible is saying, and God called the sons of God for a meeting, and Lucifer also featured there. How was Lucifer, after falling, still finding himself there? Because Adam was that son of God who was given permission to attend God's board meetings. But the moment he fell short of the glory of God and he gave it over to Lucifer, Lucifer now was able to stand before God. This is how come you find that before Jesus Christ, no one ever cast out a demon. Jewish history has it also. This Lord rebuke you. Jewish tradition also has it that the moment that God had commanded Abraham to go and kill his son, as they were going to kill his son, Satan appeared to them as a flood to stop them from going to make that sacrifice. And then Abraham recognized that this is not a normal flood because it does not exist here. And he said, "The Lord rebuke you." And the flood began to recede. So he didn't abuse him, because that was the reign of the genius, the evil genius called Satan. He had a moment of, you see, Adam was powerful on the earth. Very powerful. Do you realize now how also that when Gabriel was coming down from heaven to come and deliver a message to Daniel, there was a demon spirit, a principality, the prince of Greece, the prince of Persia, that stopped him and was able to fight him. What empowered that evil spirit to be able to withstand such an archangel? It was because that was the reign of the Luciferian spirit and his demons. Are you seeing that? But there was one time when Jesus gave authority to his disciples to heal the sick, raise the dead, cast out demons. And as they were coming back, they began to say, "Ah, in your name, the demons were even subject to us. I remember commanding this cat demon. It threw away the person and came out, and the person was healed. All kinds of sicknesses, everyone was getting healed. Impele, everyone was." And then they are testifying, "We saw people from the dead being resurrected," and they were boasting to Jesus. Jesus was like, "Ah, you, that's all you saw. Me, I saw Satan falling like lightning." In other words, relax. There are higher visions this side. "I saw Lucifer falling." Lucifer was falling. That means he no longer has access to the throne room of God to stand there to accuse you, to stand there to attend board meetings, because he was dethroned. That's what the Bible says, "I was dead and now I am alive, and I have authority over death and hell." And in the earth realm, the only King of Kings that is designated is Jesus Christ. And at the name of that name, every knee in heaven, on earth, and under the earth shall bow, and every tongue shall confess that Jesus is the Lord Supreme. Hallelujah. There was a turning of tables. And then he comes back, and now he gives us authority over powers of darkness. He begins to tell us, "I've given you authority to trample on snakes and scorpions and to overcome" how many? All the powers of the enemy. His proxies, including himself, we've been given authority to deal with him. Isn't that beautiful? So we begin to see a different dispensation of power, where we can now say to Satan, "Get out! Get behind me, Satan. I bind you in the name of Jesus." You see that? But before then, it was going to be wrong for you to stand against Lucifer. It was going to be impossible. Even Michael. So they recognized that what Lucifer had at the time was Adamic authority. You see, Adam was a god on this earth. If you put Adam to fight with an angel in the earth realm, he would win. Because he was a god. You can't fight with Adam on the earth, because authority to be fruitful, to multiply, to replenish the earth, to refill it, and to have dominion over it was given to Adam. So you can't exercise any form of dominion higher than Adam in his time. He was a god. Adam was so powerful. You see, I have seen Adam before. I don't know if he's... And I remember this vision, God was showing me the Garden of Eden. I had never seen such beauty. Long story short. And then I saw a man. Oh my goodness. Beautiful, attractive man. You look at him and say, okay. Even me in the spirit. And I saw Adam. He stood on a rock. And he went, he dived into, there was like a waterfall. And then it was a very deep waterfall. And Adam dived deep into the waterfall. And it looked like he was breathing. And he was trying to fix something. He fixed something. And I saw strange creatures. I saw something that looked like a zebra coming out of the water. And it had like fins, which looked like wings. And it shook itself. And it put the things. The Garden of Eden was nice. It was nice. And after some time, he came out. And I'm saying, what kind of man is this? Because if he was given authority to tend to everything that God created, then he must be able to reach the sea and the things that are in the sea as well. you need artificial gills to go inside. Him, he would just jump in. And he had authority over the birds of the air. You don't know. When you look at Adam, you will know what kind of being God had created. But for the first time after the fall, he was trying to dig the earth and he noticed sweat was coming out. Something changed. He was not like that. You know this sweat you have? Sweat. You were not designed to sweat. You know... The fact that you are losing water is a sign that your body easily gives up to the elements of pressure. You know sweating came as a result of the curse. One day I was looking at a beautiful rose and I noticed it had thorns, and I said, but how? I don't know how I asked that question, because I knew. Like, roses have thorns. Just like many beautiful girls. Okay. So, I was wondering. I saw you got it. Why? And then the Spirit of God took me back to the garden. And he says to me, these things never had thorns until Adam was told, because of you, the ground shall yield thorns. It was the first time those things were being said. So suddenly, beautiful things began to have thorns. So that Adam could not easily have access to beauty because of the curse. So thorns are a message. When you see thorns, it's a message that you can't have access to beautiful things without being too careful. God did not design you to be too careful to become wealthy. But gentlemen didn't help us, eh? Daddy A. They didn't help us a lot. Praise God. You see that? And this is why it becomes important for you to understand what Jesus did for us on the cross. This is a learning curve. Because you see, We became so used to a life of discomfort, to a life of pain, to a life of doing so much to maintain our bodies, that we don't know how God initially created us. Initially, there's a way God formed us. There's a mindset he had. God created us to be lords over our bodies. To be lords over our environment. It will become so cold that cold will make you sick. You were not designed to be like that. The elements of this world were designed to be favorable to you. But the moment the curse was pronounced, according to Romans chapter number 8, the Bible says he subjected the world to frailty, to decay. Things began to change. Suddenly there could be electrons doing their things and lightning would come, boom, and people are being stricken and trees are dying. That was not God's perfect will. You take something that has been old, germs are formed, maggots are formed. Just by dying, maggots are formed. flies, cockroaches. Those things were never there. Who created flies? How could a perfect God like that create a maggot? You know ticks? Have you ever suffered lice before? I wonder if you say, how many have had lice? But it's okay. Inda. And you know, the ticks grow. The moment a tick sits on you like that and it begins to benefit from you, it will gain weight. And you are reducing in weight. Look at your dogs. The way the tick starts, it's so small, but it can transfer sicknesses. It can suck blood. Did God create strange creatures like that? You see, when the world was according to Romans 8, when the world was subjected to decay, to frailty, to sickness due to the fall of man, he says, cursed be the earth for your sake. He was trying to say the world is cursed because of you. All this global warming you are seeing, all of it, and the world is not getting any better. All of it was as a result of the fall. The day that the world was cursed, if you go to the day the world was cursed, you'll be shocked at how beautiful it still looked. Let me teach you something. The day that the world was cursed, if you go there, okay, let's just travel there a week after the curse. It was still fresher than the freshest places you would find today. The same way that Adam, it only took him over 900 years for physical death to catch up with him. Because everything that God says takes time. So you find that the moment God says, the day you shall eat of the fruit, you shall die. That's not the day he died. He died spiritually, like what happens to a flower when you cut it off its ground or off its source. The time it died was the time it was cut. But it may take even 1 hour for it to begin to drop, and maybe a day for it to completely wither. So the day that the earth was cursed was the day it died. But death is catching up with it very quickly over the years and over time through strange things, including climate change. All this death you are seeing in the earth was as a result of the curse that God spoke against it that time. Because of Adam, the earth is cursed. But here's the good news. Jesus says, go ye into the world and preach the gospel to every creature, not to human beings. He says to every creature. This is now the godliness I'm taking to you about. He says to preach the word to every creature. And again in Romans chapter 8, he's saying, the earth awaits for the manifestation of the sons of God. It will be redeemed by us. The earth is to be redeemed by us. I went to a house, and when I went to that house, I was told that nothing grows here. The first house I was living in at Silverest, they told me nothing grows here. It was dry. You see, the earth there looked like the earth in Mbala. Red and dry. And I could tell that the ones who were there tried everything in their power. They put manure, they put sweat. It wasn't working. And I told my wife that this place will become so green. Because I was reading where it says, go ye into the world and preach the gospel to... It doesn't say human beings. See, even the world must experience the force of the gospel through us. So I got a garden boy by Mr. Mbewe, and he came and he began to work the ground and began to water it, and I began to prophesy to it. That place, you ask Deacon Gabriel, it was so green. Those who were there at the first house where I lived, you saw even the roses. I'll send you some pictures. We grew roses there. I was told nothing grows there. We grew roses there. I remember when a Christine did like a small garden there. They did a small garden and they grew vegetables. Because I said, I am here. I speak to this earth. It is going to yield fruit. Because the world is waiting. You see, the healing of the world is in the children of God. Whether God is going to give them scientific means or whether God is going to give them powers of the age to come in terms of them prophesying to the ground. Let me tell you something. The force of the blessing ignores the signs in the weather and the weather forecasting. There was a man in the Bible who, during a drought, God told him to stay in the place where there was a drought. And the Bible says, and he grew and prospered and waxed great in the midst of a drought. Last week, the Lord was telling me that when things like this, like droughts, begin to happen, don't just look at the negative side. God wants to show the blessing through his children. It is not the first time that the world is going down in terms of a drought. It happened in Joseph's time, but Joseph shined in the darkness. These things happen even during the days of the dry bones that Ezekiel had. There were dry bones. In the midst of dry bones, he began to prophesy. There was no science that could do what Ezekiel did. But it was the word of the Lord in his heart. The Bible says, this word of the law shall not depart out of your mouth, but you shall meditate on it day and night, that you may observe to do what it says. And then you shall make your way prosperous. There is a certain level of manifestation which is dependent on godliness. Because the world is not going to get any better. The world is not going to get any better. The economics are not going to get any better. The politics are not going to get any better. I feel for our current president. You find that many of the things that are happening, it's not even him. The world is just getting worse. The dollar is not failing here. It's failing everywhere. This is why some of the best presidents are reserved for some of the worst times. So if you take a very sharp guy, and you put him in a very bad time, he will still look dull. Not because he's dull. So you find that the bare minimum he's trying to do is what is even keeping it like this. Otherwise, and I'm not saying the other president, don't get me wrong, but God knows why. It's like some of you are saying, but why is it me going through this today? If we put your grandmother in your shoes, you wouldn't have even been born. She would have maybe committed suicide by now. So God knows the kind of strengths he puts in all of you. And I want to tell you that you were born for such a time as this. There's a reason why God did not put you in the days of the bumper harvest. There is a reason why God did not put you in the days of David and Daniel. There's a reason why God did not put you in the days of Manawasa, where the economy was. The reason why God put you in these tough times is because tough times are for tough people. You have got what it takes to become the best version of yourself. Shout yes! That's why you are not born in Bill Gates' family or Zuckerberg's family. God brought you here. You are born in Chivoria. You are born Waka Wayo. Why? Because you, tell your neighbor, you, God invested in you. All that it takes to become the best. In the worst days, shout yes. The light shines in the darkness. The light shines in the darkness. Brothers and sisters, it's time to shine. When men say there's a casting down, we say, Papia, Papia, Apapia Walia, Papia, Papia. They that are for you are more than they that are against you. You are not alone, child of God. You are designed to shine. And these are the days of godliness. God wants you to move beyond power, beyond might, beyond economics, beyond connections. These are the days where we are going to work with such angelic force like never before. Peroso kolo prande leke dias kataya. Egrido go shala farakti lekuzia bahaya. Because the word of the Lord tells us that where sin abounds, where difficulty abounds, where hard time abounds, more grace abounds. Because where the worst days are, God's best days are just beginning. This is the word of the Lord. He says, ah, you know, there was one time when God took me in a vision, and now I see by the Spirit that the days are upon us. There was a time that the Lord took me in a vision, and in that vision, there was a war. And when I looked at the war, I didn't think we are able to fight it. The enemies were just strong. Satan was taking his worst and throwing it at the believers. And as I beheld, I saw a host of angels. The heavens were open. I saw angels that have never visited the earth realm before, that have been trained for battle, for war, for violence, for provision, to preserve, to protect, and they were coming down, and they took me up. One took me on my right, and one took me on my left, and I noticed I had a sword in my hand, and I was excited to be alive in this wicked day, because I know that I am not alone. You are not alone, child of God. We are in those days where an angel will wake you up in the night and cook you a meal and you eat. We are in those days where you just wake up and the landlord will say, hey, you've paid your rent very quickly today. And you check. You can't believe where you check. You ask all your friends, your family. You ask the good people in your life. He said, no, we didn't send. You ask, you say, oh, could you just kindly share the message? And it transfers Airtel money. 3 months, and it was your number which sent. Hey, your rentals have been paid. We are in those days, brothers and sisters, where they are going to call you and tell you, you have had a successful interview. And you can't remember. A friend of yours, some 2 years back, had sent a CV to the working place. A friend of yours, and they said, we have your CV. You attended the interview. You can't remember attending the interview. Their brother had a dream, and that dream was so real, and you attended the interview. We are in the days of the reign of godliness. Now I see it, because where wickedness abounds, where sin abounds, grace all the more abounds. Shout yes! I remember very vividly, we were having a discussion with Apostle Fred, and we began to see with our spirits that in this year, what Satan is going to do is that he's going to use demons a lot. There's such an investment into the demonic realm and demonic workforce. So one of the things you need to do as a Christian is to at least understand how the realm of the spirit operates. You need to know something about demonology. You need to go back to teachings like moments of the spirit. You need to go back to teachings like, you know, warfare and all those things. Because you are in those days where you need to have some spiritual intelligence. But then, you see, doctors will tell you that when they do a test and they discover that there's a lot of white blood cells, it means that there's an infection somewhere. And sometimes you find that the amount of red blood cells could even be way higher than the infection that is there. Why? Because where sin abounds, grace all the more abounds. And as I begin to sense, and as I begin to see all these changes that are happening in the atmosphere, in the economy, I see all those bad things. I realize, it means the good things are more. Hey, hallelujah. Are you able to just pray in other tongues for a minute? If you're not able to pray in other tongues, just begin to thank God for the time and the hour. Begin to thank God for the time and the hour. Just begin to say, Lord, this is a time for my prosperity. Ribidi le pele, eshele fronde le kipai. Ha ha. Indi bele koskolo farakti le kipara. Shebrende le bele diske le preke do shakabaya. Zilimine ndele beketoria baskata la bakaya. Orabashata laba sombrie dele bekede. Celebe de besha. Evara dele monte lebash. We see what you are doing. We receive it. Because you told us in your word that the acknowledgement of your faith, that the manifestation of every good thing in you shall be made effective by the acknowledgement of every good thing in you in Christ Jesus. That your faith shall be effective by the acknowledgement of every good thing in you in Christ Jesus. Edilimantola bakaria. Celebedele bedola bashata la bakaria. Embridili peles kele paradoshka. Omporo sekete feredia. Azidi bidiosa. Ha ha ha. Hey, Zagora da Shilevrondilia. Mampi asuma na tiepes. Yes, yes. Somebody shout yes. Come on, give somebody a high five and sit down. Give three people a high five. Say yes. Yes, yes, yes. Praise the Lord. I said, praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Woo! Glory. Give me the book of John. Kodibara diskele frigidish. Zimiti li palatoska. Chapter 10. Give me verse 30. I and my Father are one. John chapter 10, verse 30. You know, I feel in my spirit like I'm opening portals to manifestations. Let me tell you something. Every word which we preach is opening you up to the reality of the spirit behind it, of the blessing behind it, of the wisdom behind it. So when you come here, it's not just something to learn. It's an initiation ceremony. Jesus was speaking to the disciples in John 15, and he says, you have been made clean by the word which I'm speaking to you. Meaning, having a conversation can sanctify you. But it's more than that. It means if that word is speaking about sanctification and it can sanctify you, then a word about prosperity can cause you to prosper. Then word about elevating you can elevate you. So as I'm speaking, I feel like I'm opening up portals for supernatural manifestations, for godly manifestations, for strange happenings in your day, for releasing more grace than your troubles. Pressure is for tires, brothers and sisters. It's not for you. And if you look at the pressure that has been around you, that should tell you the kind of glory that you're about to experience. Because the Bible says, where sin abounds, where error abounds, grace all the more abounds. If you've been feeling sick, it means the healing grace around you is stronger and higher than the sickness you've been experiencing. If you have been experiencing lack, it's a sign that the prosperity that's about to hit your Airtel money. If you have been experiencing pain, it means the joy that's about to hit you. If you have been experiencing depression, it is a sign that you are going to be a hot spot of good vibes, a hot spot of positive energy. If you have been struggling to understand the cause, it's a sign. It's a sign that you are going to be the lecturer of the hour for that same course. If you have been struggling with your business and you've been trying to make career. If you have been struggling to get your family saved, it's a sign that God is turning you into a priest of your family. A priest of your family. The authority is about to go up. Because you used to pray for them and you were expecting a change and you did not see it. This time when you go home, you will go in your bedroom and suddenly there will be an angel on your left and on your right. And when you stand at the altar, you will hear that somebody died. You shatter. Where sin abounds, where error abounds, grace, 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 grace. I say grace, grace. Some of that grace is coming in unusual authority during warfare. Unusual authority. For the first time, some of you, as you pray, you are going to start feeling like Banitelela maningi, Banitelela maningi, Banitelela maningi. The anointing which was on Samson will come upon you in your prayer time. Then you will go to sleep. When you go to sleep like this, suddenly you're going to wake up and you will travel out of your body. You will roar like the lion of the tribe of Judah. And every spirit that has been sleeping with you, you will cut it out of your life. Every power that has been stealing out. I see some of you going into demonic camps.